GAP policies, guaranteed asset protection policies. Again, this is a policy that says, okay, if the car is wrecked, the insurance isn't enough to cover the policy. This is a policy that says, okay, well, the GAP insurer will pay the creditor the difference between whatever the other insurance paid or whatever, and what the creditor is owed, so you eliminate the deficiency. Again, the policies generally are payable directly to the creditor, not to the debtor. So again, probably not property of the estate. Also look at third party policies. I have a lot of cases where what you've got is, well, the debtor and a non-filing co-debtor are owners of the car. And so the co-debtor is the one who actually has taken out the insurance. Well, is that property of the estate or not? Depends on who took out the insurance, what the insurance policy actually says, who the loss payees are. I tried to cover all this in the paper, but understand that just when we say insurance, insurance is not just a very simple topic that there's one kind of insurance. There are a number of different kinds of insurance that we're really talking about. Now, what we're going to concentrate mostly on today is the casualty policies, because that's really where generally the rubber hits the road in my experience with regard to these cases. Although understand, especially from the debtor attorney perspective, that you need to think about these issues when you file the case and when you fill out the schedules, because how you fill out the schedules can actually affect some of the issues that we're going to talk about today and who ends up getting these policies. Is that something that you look at, Meyer, when you do the file the case, as far as, you know, doing exemptions and all that, considering, you know, even think about the insurance?
No, not really. But I think that's something that people should consider. You know, we're all about trying to cram that value down as low as possible. And then that gives us a little bit of exemption, especially if, you know, you're taking federal exemptions where you're limited to 35, but now the insurance proceeds are $10,000. What do you do? That's become an issue. I have not really had that fight. I don't think any of the trustees have raised that issue. I think they kind of stay out of it. I mean, ideally the client's just using excess proceeds to buy a replacement vehicle anyway. So either they do that or they have a higher payment that's gonna cut from their budget either way. So I think six of one, half dozen of another.
Well, and it really wasn't an issue until very recently, post-COVID,
right,
where there are not any used cars to be had. And so the price of used cars has gone through the roof. And therefore, all of a sudden, insurance proceeds have been going up because, honestly, it's almost frustrating to me that when I go to argue adequate protection and I look and see that the vehicle's actually appreciated since the filing of the case. I'm used to depreciating collateral. What do you mean my collateral's worth more than when they filed? So, anyway, Meyer, you want to go over our facts?
Yeah, so start with a really good typical example. You filed a case several years ago. The automobile had a claim of $25,000. You know, NADA had a value of $15,000, so you cram it. It's a non-910 car. You cram the interest rate. The case is confirmed. Everyone agrees. Now, today, you receive a call from your client. It says, hey, I was in a vehicle accident. The insurance company is telling me my car is totaled. So $25,000 claim, $15,000 cram down, and according to the trustee's website, that claim has been paid down to $10,000. The insurance agrees to approve a claim for $20,000. So the insurer reaches out to the lender and says, what's your payoff? And the insurance company replies, it's about $20,000. So client calls and says, hey, I went on to NDC and it says I only owe 10. How could they even ask for 20? And you can explain to them all the intricacies of why their claim is what it is and why there's a non-bankruptcy claim and a bankruptcy claim, but they don't want to hear it. They're like, I need that money to replace my car. Otherwise, I can't go to this job that my wage order is paying for this case. I get that call from the insurance company. What do we do? What I've done is taken a screenshot of the trustee's website and said, here's the current payoff. This is the payoff. And here's the phone number for the trustee if you want to verify. They verify, and then we have a fight. The worst of it got to the point where an insurance company, or the lender said, or no, it was the insurance company, excuse me. They said, look, they want $20,000. You only want us to pay $10,000. We'll pay $10,000, but we want you to write a letter of protection. No, not doing it. Well, you think the trustee will write a letter of protection? I said, you try that. Here's her phone number. I even told, I think it was Yvonne maybe, or I think I asked him to call Yvonne because I talked to her about it. I said, call Yvonne, see what she says, and then call me back. It did not go well. So I have won these fights simply by attrition. I'm not budging, no one's budging, and eventually the lender relents. I've even had an insurance company just cut the check.